I want to thank Brother Cliff for that reading. There'll be a few differences between versions as we go through this morning. I do all my preparation out of the English Standard. Those of you who use King James and some others, there are some changes that. Yeah. And I think we'll see a few differences as we go through, but I'll try to make those known as I progress through my notes this morning. This month, Mike and I are beginning a new series of topics. This is going to be a series that's going to focus on different themes found in the book of Philippians. This morning, I'm going to be focusing on, well, the first of those, and that's going to be the preaching of Christ. Paul has a lot to say here in these first few verses of the book of Philippians about that, and he shares his personal experiences of his progression and his progress spreading the gospel throughout the first century and working with the churches that were beginning to take shape and to develop in his part of the world. Verse 12 begins with the phrase, "I want you to know, brothers." That's important for us to look at that. Mike always says, when you see therefore, what's it there for? Well, in this case, I want you to know, brothers. He's bringing something of importance to them, but in this case, he's referring back to a verse that he had mentioned earlier in his greeting. In verse 7 of Philippians chapter 1, Paul had told them, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." Now, he's not saying that you're going to be in prison just like I am, but it could have been read that way, literally read that way, by some of those who may not be fully understanding what Paul was meaning by that. He had just told them they were going to be partakers of the grace that came from his imprisonment and from the spreading of the gospel. There may have been some concern what Paul might have been meaning. We know Paul's hard to understand, and Paul didn't want there to be any misunderstanding of what he was referencing here. He very much wanted them to have a true understanding of the message he was about to share with him throughout this entire letter. He wanted them to make sure that they were comforted, that there was no misunderstanding, but also he is going to let them know that if there are any troubles that you encounter, whether it's imprisonment or not, he wanted them to understand what was at stake and what would come from that activity. Paul had seen quite a bit of strife in his life in pursuit of the spreading of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 contains a very detailed listing of what he had been through for the cause of spreading Christ throughout his region. He was imprisoned, as he currently was at the time of his writing of the letter. He had been flogged. He had been exposed to death. 5 times he had received the 39 lashes from the Jews. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was pelted with stones. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He had floated a whole day and a whole night in the open sea, been in danger from rivers, bandits, Jews, Gentiles, and false believers. This took place wherever he may have been, whether it was in a city, in the country, or in the sea. It didn't matter where he was at. He said he had been deprived of sleep, food and drink, and clothes. This doesn't include what had happened to him after he had written the epistle of 2 Corinthians. He was arrested, and he spent some time in prison in Jerusalem. As we know, he had that very long and arduous journey from Jerusalem to Rome. He had been shipwrecked, spent a whole winter on an island waiting to be able to get another boat to go to Rome. While there, he was bitten by a serpent. He then spent many years in and out of Roman imprisonment. And then finally, according to historical accounts, he was executed by the Roman government. So Paul, more than anyone, knows what happens when you are being tasked to spread the gospel. Things are going to happen that are going to be out of your control, and they're not always going to be pleasant. That list I read off, I don't know that there's one of those that I would wish upon myself. If I had to pick one, I don't know which one would be the least desirable. But despite all of this, Paul assures them that everything that had happened to him up until that point in time when he was writing this letter to the Philippians, he was letting them know everything was worth it. All that he had endured served one purpose, and that was to advance the gospel of Christ. He tells them that despite his current condition, which, as I referred to earlier, he was imprisoned in Rome at the time of the writing of this book, people were aware why he was in prison. They were aware of the fact that he was awaiting trial because of his pursuit of the spreading of Christ throughout the first century. This included, it either says the Imperial Guard, that's what it says in the English Standard. Cliff's version said the Praetorian. The Palace Guard is what it says in the King James. I did a little digging into what this guard was, and best I could come up with, it was a group of about 9,000 Roman soldiers that were tasked to work directly under the emperor. Their job was not only to protect Caesar and his family, but there was a portion that was set aside to guard prisoners, much like Paul. They were aware of why Paul was in prison. They probably didn't understand the intricacies of why the Jewish leaders were wanting Paul to be on trial, but they were aware of what Paul was doing, that he was preaching. I doubt while Paul was in prison, he stopped spreading the gospel. Many of them had probably had direct conversations with Paul. They were aware of why he was there. The gospel was being spread even in his imprisonment. Paul then uses a very vague term in the English Standard. He said, all the rest, the King James says, in other places, they were aware of why Paul was in prison. He was in prison for one reason and one reason only, and that was spreading the gospel. This would seem to indicate that his imprisonment for Christ was definitely not a secret, and to the point where it was well known. I'm sure there were many prisoners, even today, it's not known why they were in prison necessarily. Paul was clearly not being quiet about spreading of the gospel, whatever his circumstances was. And we're told there was not a small amount of people who were aware of this. And if people were being exposed to the gospel, even in the circumstances under which Paul finds himself, I have no reason to believe that he wasn't being successful in converting people that were hearing the gospel as well. And so he was doing things probably in a little different manner than what he had been accustomed to prior, but it didn't let him stop him from spreading the gospel and having an impact on people's lives. We're then told of another result of this spreading of the gospel. We're told that other brothers were emboldened and had gained confidence in the Lord. This led them to be more willing to speak out, to spread the gospel. And Paul says that not only were they emboldened, it said they were doing it without fear. This is the attitude and approach they were able to take from being with Paul, but we can apply it to ourselves. We should be able to take this circumstance that most likely would not occur to us, thankfully yet. Other countries, other countries, brothers may find themselves risking themselves being put in prison for what Paul was doing in that day and age. But here in our society, as of yet, we're not being imprisoned for spreading the gospel. So we should be emboldened by Paul's efforts, and we should be emboldened knowing that people there in the first century, with the threat of punishment being made well known to them, they were encouraged to go out and spread the word. And so we should take that upon ourselves as a way to encourage us. Now, the question is, how would Paul's imprisonment be doing this? How would they be able to have this courage, be able to spread it without fear, knowing what Paul's circumstances was? Well, possibly they were encouraged by the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, even with Paul's circumstances, undoubtedly people were still responding to the gospel, and that Christianity was gaining momentum in Rome and in other areas around Rome. Perhaps they had personal contact with Paul in his hired house, in his living arrangements that he had, where he was able to have visitors. Perhaps they had been able to speak directly with Paul, and they were fired up about his mission and wanted to join him. And with Paul being in prison, there was a void. There was a gap in the spreading of the gospel in areas other than Rome. Paul had been in Rome for quite some time. He was not able to be out in the areas where he had visited previously, or we talked about last week, he wanted to go to Spain. There was now a gap that needed to be filled. And these emboldened men were going to be able to carry on this mission. They were going to be able to go to Spain. They were going to be able to go back and visit areas where Paul had preached before. Regardless of where they needed to go, we're told these men were willing and able to do so. So these could be some reasons why Paul's imprisonment could have led this furthering of the gospel to take place. In verse 15, here in Philippians chapter 1, Paul then transitions to what motives some of them may have had for wanting to go spread the gospel. Now, the first thing that Paul mentions is envy and rivalry, is how it's stated in the English Standard. The King James says strife, I think, instead of rivalry. Back when we did the fruits of the Spirit, and we talked about things that fruit of the Spirit was not, envy and rivalry were in there. These are not good qualities. These are qualities that should not be found in a Christian, let alone a preacher of the gospel. These are not positive attributes in someone's life. Now, we're not told of any specific instances that these men may have been, you know, of who these men were and what their true motives were or what they were doing. Some suppose it might have been some Judaizing teachers that were still frustrated with Paul for preaching that circumcision was not a requirement for Jewish Christians. If this is the case, it wouldn't be hard to think that they were working behind the scenes, kind of firing up and egging on even maybe the Jewish leaders who were persecuting Paul or were demanding he stand on trial. They could have been wanting to see Paul taken down so Paul could stop spreading that particular message. Others think it just might be people who were jealous of Paul's influence and the power that he held in all the different regions that he had visited. Whatever the true motive is, it's easy to understand what Paul is saying. There were individuals who were preaching the gospel, and then they were doing it for all the wrong reasons. It didn't matter if it was jealousy, or whether it was anger, or whether it was power, if it was influence or revenge. They were not preaching Christ. They were preaching themselves. They wanted to receive the glory that rightfully belonged to Christ. When the gospel of Christ is preached, the glory goes to him. And they were not taking that approach. Someone preaching from this perspective surely would also not have the best interest at heart of those to whom he was speaking and should have been concerned for. Time and time again in his epistles, Paul would talk about the love and the thankfulness that he had for his audience that he was, you know, contacting through his letters. These are either groups of people that were present in churches that he had founded, whether these were people that he had worked closely with at a church that had been established prior to his arrival, or whether this was just some group of people that he had heard about. I know about your good works. I know about what you're doing. It didn't matter who the group was. Paul routinely lets them know that he had care and concern for them. These people who were doing it for the wrong reasons, out of envy or strife or rivalry or jealousy, whatever the case may be, likely wouldn't have that same care and concern. They were only looking for what was best for them. But then contrast that with the other group of preachers that Paul mentions there. These are not people who are doing anything for personal or selfish reasons. These are people who are willing to preach, and Paul says they did it from goodwill. I looked at the Greek word that this word came from, and it means what seems good or beneficial to someone. To me, at least, this sounds just the opposite of someone doing it from a personal or selfish standpoint. They were not doing it for the glory upon themselves. And those who had this attitude were truly following the example that Paul had set. Regardless of what the circumstance was that they had come to know Paul, it wouldn't take very long for them to get the feeling of Paul's care and concern for them. Paul at every turn took the opportunity to make sure that when he was questioned, whether his apostleship was what was being questioned, his motives, he always addressed them and he always let them know that he was not wanting credit for any of the growth that may have taken place. Several times in the book of 2 Corinthians, he addresses people who are questioning and bringing into doubt his true motives. Every opportunity, he was willing to step back and defer himself and not take that credit. Now, depending upon the version you were reading, this is where I was mentioning, 16 and 17 could be flipped in your versions. In English Standard, verse 16 talks about those who do it out of love, and verse 17 talks about those that do it out of selfish ambition. I checked other versions, those are flipped. 16 mentions those who do it for the wrong reasons, and 17 mentions those that do it for the right reasons. I spent a little bit of time trying to figure out why these verses are flipped in the different versions, and really didn't find much, because one thing, when you just look up the words strife and you just get other topics. I wasn't able to find anything that was specifically dealing with this. So I'm personally not aware of why 16 and 17 are flipped in the different versions, but it really doesn't matter. The topics are covered regardless of the version you're reading, just in a different order. Paul tells the readers that those who are doing it out of goodwill truly are following his example. They're doing it out of love. The love for Paul and love for their brothers and sisters to whom they were speaking to and spreading the gospel. They regard Paul as being unjustly imprisoned, and they are willing to come to his aid and to help him with his mission that he had devoted his life to accomplishing. They're willing because they know why Paul is in his current situation. And it was because, as we're told there, it was because of the defense of the faith. Whenever Paul was put to the test, he was capable of answering and pushing back against anyone who would look to discredit the preaching of Christ. So they were just following Paul's example. They too were devoted to this defense of the faith. And then Paul says, those who preach for selfish reasons. Kind of interesting statement here. He says they're doing it not only for the personal reasons I mentioned earlier, but they're doing to add to the misery. They were looking to make his situation even more difficult while he was there in prison. I'm sure it frustrated Paul knowing that this was all going on. He had obviously had learned about it. He was writing about it. He would have been aware of what was happening, even though he might not have been there. And because of that, he was unable to travel or reach out to these people who were doing this. He may have tried to get word to some of these men to come visit him so he could correct them, but they likely weren't very interested in that conversation and may or may not have taken place. But we are told that they were doing this, and I'm sure they were taking great pleasure in knowing that even though Paul was in prison, their circumstances would make his imprisonment just a little bit more difficult. Paul said in the King James, they were adding affliction to his bonds, meaning this was hurting him. This was making him even more uncomfortable than just being in his sick circumstances where he was in prison, and he was taking this personally. Once again, I doubt he was too concerned about what they may have been saying about him, but he knew that the spreading of the gospel was not coming from a true heart, and likely the people they were speaking to would be influenced by their attitudes, would be influenced by their motives, and they would not be able to be and become the Christians that they should have at that time. So all of this added together was causing misery to come upon Paul. So as we close this morning, we could focus on what Paul's message about preaching Christ is here. That regardless of what may happen to any of us as we are spreading the gospel, as we're talking to our friends and co-workers and have that opportunity to speak with others about the gospel, regardless of what happens during that, Paul says one thing: the gospel will be advanced when Christ is preached. Any difficulties which we personally may encounter in that activity and in that approach are going to be resulting in glory being brought to Christ, and we will be able to use them to our advantage further on down the road. At this time, we will ask Brother Pickard if he would lead us in a word of prayer, and we will then be dismissed to our classes.